Our primary objective during this seminar has been to turn our attention to who and what we are, to turn our attention to the fact that we are God, and turn our attention to the fact that as God, we have the right, the privilege, the opportunity to do anything we want with our life, to make it good or bad, depending upon what causes we put in motion about it. Now, what cause do you want to put in motion about your life? What cause do you want to put in motion about your world and your experiences? What cause do you want to put in motion? Do you want a cause in motion that it limits you or that unlimits you? Hey?
Unlimited.
Unlimits you. Okay. Now, how do you put a cause in motion to unlimit you? Yes?
By declaring the reality of your being.
To do what?
Declaring the reality of your being.
Requiring the reality.
Claiming the reality of your being, of my being. Like claiming his beingness.
Oh, cleansing.
Claiming.
Recognizing
living.
Who he is.
I'm sorry to be so dense and not hearing you.
I am living my ideal self.
While living my ideal self. Okay? You're living your ideal self. Now, what is your ideal self?
Wholeness.
No, not particulars. A general thought. What is your ideal self general?
My purity, original purity and integrity.
I am the allness. I am the isness. See, that's the general idea one. Now, are you as the allness and as the isness? Are you perfect health? Are you perfect wealth? Are you perfect anything on the relative level? Are you that fulfilled?
Yes.
Now, why are you that fulfilled?
Because that's who I am.
That's your nature. That's who you are. Right. That's your nature. That's who you are. Now, how do you demonstrate your nature?
By living it.
You demonstrate your nature by living it, by claiming who you are. Now, if you're going to claim part of your inheritance, that's all you're going to get.
Yes.
The prodigal son, he got part of his inheritance. What was part of his inheritance? It's part of the money that his father wanted to give him. And he took it and spent it.
Yes.
Now, when he came back, his father
still
said...
He still had the inheritance. He still took the inheritance. The inheritance was still waiting for him.
Yeah, when he came back, his father said, you've never left.
No.
This, what you have is yours. It's all this is yours. You know, the whole thing. And the brother who stayed at home said, what the heck is this? Here he goes off and blows it all and makes a mess out of everything. And you say, come home, my son. Everything is not forgiven, but you were missing for a while, and now you're here, and we love you.
Yeah,
we love you. Now, is this what the divine in you says about you when you go and do something that isn't necessarily a good thing for you to do?
Yes.
All the time, doesn't
it?
He says, hey, forget it. Don't be sorry for what you did.
No.
Just don't do it again.
If you do it,
then what?
You fall more into...
I'll still welcome you back.
Yes, you can.
You are my son.
Yes.
I cannot disown you. I cannot disavow you in my world just because you're stupid, you know, just because you do dumb things. And the father would never say you're stupid. That father would never say that. He only said, let's get the fatted calf. And the brother says, well, what about me? And the father says, I have you with me here always.
Okay. You know? All that I have is yours.
How beautiful that is. Now, this is what we're sharing right now. How are we to enjoy the allness? How are we to enjoy who we really are, God, and not feel that we're missing the boat someplace? And I say missing the boat someplace because sometimes we feel that we can't do things because we're God. We can't. You can do anything as God because God does not say one thing is good or bad, does not say something is right or wrong. All is good. The prodigal son, come home, come home, come home. You know, however many times you go out and spread your wild oats, come home. And are there other fathers like that in reality? All over the place. This is the way every real father responds to his family, his children, his sons, his daughters, his wife. If the wife goes out and messes up, he says, hey, come home. I don't forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. I hold it not against you. I love you. I respect you. Whatever you did that was not so good, that you think it wasn't good, it wasn't in keeping with our marriage vows, forget it. Now, if you go do it again, I'm going to have to say, forget it again. Because I am not going to lose you just because of some silly thing like that. You didn't run off with somebody else because you love them. You ran off with somebody else because you're trying to push my buttons. You tried to give me a hard time. You see how far you could push me. Well, you can push me right out the window and I will still forgive you. Not forgive you. I will still claim you as mine. You are not divorced. You are not disavowed. You are not put out of my world. You are in my world eternally. Now, wow, what a father. What a husband. What a wife. Now, the wife says to her husband, I know you've been flandering around, and I know that you haven't been true to me, but hey, I love you. And maybe this is the last time you're going to do it. Maybe you're done. Maybe you're through. Maybe I am enough for you. Maybe I am the fulfillment of you. And then instead of talking about it so much, she cuddles him and caresses him and feeds him and makes him feel that he's the most wonderful person in the world. Then where will he be? Where would he put his hat down?
You put his hat down, of course.
In your house.
Yeah, most.
In your house. If you go around complaining about what they're doing, I'm not saying you should go out and do dumb things. You understand that?
Yes.
I'm not saying you should go out and have relationships and affairs in your marriage, because that's just... We don't have that many forgiving, if you will, husbands and wives of their husbands and wives. Don't test the game. But if you test the game, and you're the one who's making the decision, you say, hey, no problem. No problem. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. All I know is that you're back. And that's all I care about. You're back. And as far as I'm concerned, you're back forever. Now, I won't say, and if you make another mistake, I'll still say you're back forever. But each case brings about its own situation.
Yes, yes,
you're back with me forever. And I will show you what you've been missing. I will love you to pieces. I will treat you like a goddess. I will treat you like an angel. I will treat you with flowers and with scents, and I will treat you with gifts. I will treat you with my presence. I will treat you with my body. You know, most of the time in marriages, as soon as the marriage is done and kids come and they're done, they stop touching each other's body. But when your kids are sick, you come in there and you touch their body. You run your hand over their legs or over their arm or their back or the bottom. And you say, you're okay. It's okay. Everything is fine. And you feel fantastic. You feel that healing aspect. And the wives and husbands forget to do that to each other. The man comes home after a hard day's work, presumably, and he's tired and beat, and pretty soon he goes to bed. And when he goes to bed, the wife looks at him and says, oh, you're dead tired, you're out. The wife should pull back the covers and take some scented oil and gently, smoothly rub it between her hands, then over his body, up and down, over his entire body, into his hair, into his ears, and to his face, over his entire being, gently, slowly.
Wow.
Purposefully, yeah, wow. Gently, slowly, purposefully. And what's going to happen? Fireworks. not necessarily sexual fire, but the firework of love, the real love, the real caring, the real sharing, the real oneness of the marriage, the oneness of the life. People want to get to sex right away, and sex is in and out and done and gone, and it has no value whatsoever. You think it does. That's because you've been trained on it. But pre-sex and after sex, what do you call it? In other words, the foreplay and the hind play, or whatever, is where it's really all at. When you tell your wife sweet nothings, or you tell your husband sweet nothings, and you tell your husband how wonderful he is, you tell him what he has done to make your life so fantastic, and you just say nothings. Who cares what the words are? As long as they're good, as long as they're loving. And then he'll start saying to you, "Oh, is that why I see you so wonderful? Is that why I see you so good? You are just marvelous. Oh, I love you so. I love you, I love you, I love you." And what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to that man that was about ready to shuffle off the board of board to die? You don't die. You know, when people are dying, what do? They close the windows, they close the drapes, they close the dark, make the guy in dark so he can slip away in darkness. Don't do that. Open up everything. And take off his clothes. Massage his body or her body and tell her how wonderful she is. And do it alone in your personal relationship, not with the crowd around or something like that. And say how much you love them and how much they're wonderful. Do you know they'll sit up in bed, so to speak, instead of being dead? They'll sit up and live because somebody cares about them, and the demonstration of that caring is there in the touch. If you've ever been to masseur, whatever they are, they are very gentle and very loving, except for the Swedish. The Swedish masseurs or whatever are very deep and penetrating and pushy, I hear. I've been to a masseur, whatever, twice in my life. Once at the YMCA and once at somewhere else, I forget. And it was just nice and ordinary. It did not entice me to come back. It did not make me want to stay away. It just was, it was not my wife giving me a massage, you know? It's not someone who loved me, who was touching my body and saying, "You're wonderful. You're fantastic, you're glorious." If you have a relationship with anybody, and that relationship wants to get hot and heavy, do the massage, and that relationship will be balanced. It'll be harmonious and beautiful. If it is to be further than that, well, that's another thing, but you don't worry about it. You go in with the idea that the massage, the caring, the touching is what it's all about. What happens when Enoch has a hurt toe? Does Mama come in and take his toes and gently touch him with her fingers, just sort of smoothly move him over? Or does Daddy come in and touch him for you? Or do your sisters come in and touch him for you? You know, that's not a bad idea. Let your sisters touch your toes for you. Let your family realize that the massage can be done among the members of the family, too. Well, what about the sexual thing? There is no sexual thing. The sexual thing is what we put on it. We don't need to do that. We talk about that that's the only thing that there's to it. And that's not. If that gets in there, let it be. But don't drag it in by saying that that's what's there. The most beautiful massages in the world are done by the Ayurveda and by the people who use natural products, homeopathic type people, because they use these homeopathic herbs and they use these homeopathic scents. And when they put these scents on the body, the scent is through the whole room. And the scent makes you feel, you're just ready to drop dead. You're ready to be totally at peace, totally relaxed, totally wonderful. Now, if you don't have any of these people around to do that sort of thing for you, You have a husband or a wife. You have a mommy. You have a mommy and a daddy, and they can do that. And they can teach you how to do it. And if they don't know how, go on the internet. Look it up in Wikipedia, massage. Look it up in Wikipedia, and it's free. And they'll tell you all about massaging and how to do it. It'll give you illustrations of it. And if you have a printer, you can print out the pages that show you how to do it and how to handle it. It's wonderful. Really fantastic. Sam Sasu from Ghana, here in near you guys, he came to visit us on campus several times. And he just loved the University of Healing campus. He said, it's so relaxing, so peaceful. And he wanted to give us all Ayurveda a massage. And so, like me, I just drop down naked and say, go ahead, you know. And I don't think he's used to having people be naked in front of him. He's used to having a cloth on him or something. But he made do with me. And then he gave the massage, and it was nice. But all the girls were watching while he's giving the massage, and everybody was aware how he's doing to learn how to do it, you know. And I just had to just blank out everything and just relax and enjoy. And it was quite an experience, quite an experience. It wasn't what it could have been because I wasn't prepared for it. If I were prepared, this was on the floor of the Swimex, and it's where we have our swimming pool where you swim against the water, you get against the current, in about the size of this here thing here at the black area. But it's very nice, very beautiful, very powerful. And then we have the jacuzzis and the other things there. But it was really quite an experience. Now, if you really want to not save your marriage, but find a new level of delight in your marriage, use the massage. Use it and look it up. You can go, I don't know about your libraries here, I keep thinking wherever I go, it's the United States. And I come here.
Yes.
Tonight. It is.
We have a library here.
Right. Mm-hmm. So whenever I come here, I think you have the public libraries we have, and you have the drugstores we have, you have the supermarkets we have, and you have the McDonald's and the all the other fast food places that we have. And that's what I find here, too. And I get here, and I spend almost 2 weeks here, and I never go further than 10 feet from where my room is. I never get out the door. I never get anywhere except to get in it in the first place and to get out of it to go to the airplane in the second place. But the next time I come to visit, you can all plan sort of an interesting outing, showing me the countryside, showing me your homes, showing me your families, because I like to know them, showing me your life, and I'll tell them all about you, and showing me all the things that make you so happy here in this paradise on earth called Nigeria, because I really would love to do that. But that's not my main objective, as I told Sibyl often. It's not places, but people. You are more important to me than any place in the world. I have been in many cities of the world. I've been around the world many times, and I've been in the capital of Washington, and I've been in the White House. I've been in all the places like that. And it's fascinating, and it's good. But the people that I met in Washington were far more wonderful than the buildings. The people that I met in China, the people that I met in Australia, and the people that I met in Taiwan and all these other places around Earth are far more fascinating than any of the places they showed. Oh, they showed us beautiful places. They said, just like Disneyland. Well, big deal. Disneyland, so to speak, is next door, a couple hundred miles away. And if I want to go there, I can go. And once you've seen Disneyland, even if they have new attractions, it becomes passé, boring, not too interesting anymore. But, again, you have a life ahead of you filled with magic and all sorts of beautiful things, filled with an experience that you've never had before. And if you go down to the bare bottom and there's nobody to help you, then give yourself a massage. Gently give yourself a massage. I bought one of these little electric things. It's a ball on the end of a stick, and it sort of bubbles around and massages you. And it's sort of nice to be able to reach the bottoms of your feet without having to sit down in a funny position while you're trying to get there. But really, if you follow the way the masseurs do it, they take their hands and move it up and down, and they're dry or they're oily, one or the other. And they have that lovely scent about them, and you feel good. And then as you do it to yourself, you say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. My eyes are whole and perfect. My ears are whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. I feel fantastic. I feel glorious. I feel wonderful. I feel super. And as you say this to yourself, your body just comes alive, and you feel wonderful. Now, I've been running around this world for quite a number of years, and I've been 25 for many years, and I've enjoyed every one of them. And I'll be 25 for many more years. And what I am doing, I'm young, vital, dynamic, alive. I'm young, vital, dynamic, alive. I'm young, vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I say this to me, see, myself, and I chant this to myself as I'm walking around the university grounds. And I just feel 10 feet tall. I'm walking up the mountainside like this here, you know, and I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, and Rex is out there, and the leash is loose between us when we have the leash on. And he walks with me, and I'm vital, dynamic, alive, and I'm filled with energy. I'm filled with power. I'm filled with peace. I'm filled with all goodness. It's just fantastic. But you do it with your thought. You do it with your words. You do it with your attitude. You do it for yourself. And it works very nicely. I think that the more you learn about this beautiful temple that you live in, and the more you respect this beautiful temple you live in, and the more you touch this beautiful temple that you live in a loving, sensitive way, the longer you will have this temple as your ideal temple. Because your temple of the living God doesn't want this, but delights to hear when you say it is good and very good. Your temple delights to hear when you say it's whole and perfect. Your temple is very happy to know that you appreciate it. Because we so often tell our body we don't like it. But the more we can tell our body that we like it, the more we appreciate it, the more we delight in our body, the more our body responds to us in beautiful, fantastic ways. I've often looked at people who are dying, and as I would talk to them, usually I'd be in the room alone with them because everybody else had their time in there and they were off doing something else. And so I would be with the person. And so I would take their arm or their leg or their forehead. I would take maybe their face and whatever, and I would touch it so gently that I could hardly feel it myself. But I would be saying, I surround you with my pure white light of love. I surround you with my pure white light of love. I surround you. And my fingertips would just gently go over their face or their arms or their legs or whatever I was massaging. And many times in their great dire position, they sit up and they say, I'm ready to get up. And people say, what did you do? Nothing, nothing. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Because can you imagine if they told people in the hospital that somebody was doing this, what they would want? Everybody would want that. And that's nice. Everybody should have it. But everybody should have their family come and do that for them. But their family doesn't even do it at home when they're sick. The family doesn't even do it anywhere when they're sick. When a boy falls down and hurts his knee, they don't say, you're fantastic, and touch it or kiss it or say, you're okay, and it's okay. Or when a girl, she has less incidents than a boy, but when she has an incident, you say, you're holding perfect, you're fantastic, you're glorious. And when you say it, you empower it. Don't make a big thing out of it. Just make it as if something natural, something beautiful, something normal. Not as though it's something unusual, but just as though it's the most usual thing in the world. And you'll find it true. I remember one boy in Chicago. I told you about him, I'm sure. His mother was a friend of my mother. That is, yeah, his mother was a friend of my mother. And he was at the University of Chicago, like I was. And he was living in private housing, and I was living in university housing. So I went to visit him. And when I got to visit him, he was there with his sister. And he was laying in bed. All the drapes were pulled, all the curtains were pulled, all the doors were closed, and the lights were off. I said, "Hello, anybody in here?" You know, and we talked for a little while. And I said, "Why is it you want to die?" He said, "I don't want to die." I said, "You sure do. Look at you. You got yourself tombed up already, you know. You're all set for getting ready for the box." And he said, "Well, I don't want to die. I don't want to die." And I said, "Well, okay, I'll open the window." So I opened everything. And then I talked to him for a few minutes. And while I was talking to him, I was holding his hand. And I was massaging his fingers. And I was just gently going over his hand, just unobtrusively, but doing it. And then I got the other hand, too, and doing both of them. And he just sort of cuddled into himself. He just sort of felt good. He said, "Oh, I don't want to die. I really don't want." And I said, "Well, then why are you doing it? Why are you dying?" And he said, "Well, I don't feel good, and I got this, and I got that." I said, "Name it and claim it. You know that? That's what unity teaches, name it and claim it. You got it, you got a problem, forget it, forget it, forget it." And he said, "Okay, Herb, okay." And so we talked about it for a while, and he liked it. And then his sister came in, and, "What are you doing, Herb? You have the windows all open. But Herb, what are you doing here? You can't do that." And I said, "He can die in a bright room as well as a dim room. What difference does it make? If he's happy with the brightness, give it to him." "Well, you know," she had been trained not to. "Close everything up." And so I went back to visit him two or three times over a period of a month, and he was improving. And then one time I went back there, and the sister said, "He's left us." And I said, "Well, so, bless his heart. I know everything is good for him." And she says, "Well, I told him he should not hate his mother. He should not hate this. He should not." Oh. She is telling him that while he is in the process of fighting to live, he should not hate things. If he hates things, he hates them. You tell him, love them. Surprise the hell out of them. Love them. Surprise the bejabbers out of them. Love them. That's what I tell him. But she said, the hate. And he went. And that's okay. Nice guy. I had a chance to know him better. But he went. Now, what game are you going to play? Are you going to play the game of your traditions? The game of all the things that you've learned over the years about life and death and so forth and how it works? Or are you going to be intuitive about it and listen to your inner self? And your inner self says, where there is dying, bring life. Where there is death, bring everlasting peace. Where there is health, bring more health. Where there is unhappiness, bring happiness. Where there is any kind of concern, bring peace and a feeling that all is well. And when you do that, then all is well. It's been a joy to have a seminar with you guys. We get shook up back and forth here, but it's fun. And I take it in the right spirit, and you take it in the right spirit, and we all grow and expand and do beautiful things together. And we'll have a one-on-one for the next period of time now. And so you have the names for them?
Yes, it's okay. Okay and Arki.
I'm sorry?
Okay And
okay.
Akin.
And who?
Okay, and Akin will see.
And you?
We want to leave, and I want to say something before we leave.
Yeah, that's okay. But I'm just checking the one-on-one.
Yes.
Okay. Just okay, and Akim.
Akim. Akim. Okay. Two of the super ones. All right. Among the super ones. All right, now, you had a question.
Not a question.
Huh?
Not a question.
You don't want to ask a question?
It's not a question.
No question?
He wants to say something.
Oh, you want to say something?
Yes.
Well, be my guest.
Very good. I want to say today, we will leave. Immediately after, we will leave here. And I want to say, we are grateful for your presence and what you have been able to give to us for the benefit of ourselves and the world, not only ourselves, and the world. I've noticed one good thing that happened here. Day before yesterday, we had a number of kids here. In a normal setting, we will not be able to listen. But during that period, everybody here was quite listening and hearing you. That was beyond the normal. And I know that something actually was taking place, not only within us, but within the environment. And I want to appreciate that where masters talk, such things
Thank you.
Happen. And we want to appreciate that you have done that which you need to do for us, and it's left for us now to do for ourselves that which should be for our benefit and the world around us. It's a very good thing that you leave that long, far, far distance only to tell us something that will be beneficial for us at no cost. No cost to us. Gift falling. Few times will be coming, can always be free, free, free. We appreciate. And I want to say, you have told us that you are not selling anything. And we are not buying anything. That what is good for you is good for every other person. And you are prepared to share whoever is ready to take that which is good. And so, we thank you 1,000 times.
Thank you.
I will begin to hope and believe and accept that you have asked us for better lessons in the near future. And we know as you leave, you'll be working on the better lessons for the next term.
Very good.
We are grateful.
Thank you. Thank you. Joseph? Joseph?
Sir.
I want you to pay, let's stay there. I want you to pay attention. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to speak in a public place about blessings and good things, because it develops your ministerial talent. You follow me?
Yes.
Take an opportunity, everyone. And if you can't take it, make it. But have fun.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I appreciate your love and your acceptance of what I presented today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Then we have our two one-on-ones. Now, were we going to do anything in parting before or after that? Are they being here for dinner?
They're leaving right now.
Okay, so let's all have a big circle here and say, I love me, I love you, and then whatever comes next.